You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to another edition of William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. Ben Barrett in the hot seat again, and today I'm delighted to say that I've been joined by Andy Holding. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Ben. Yourself?
Very good. Thank you very much. Good to be here. Good to have you with us. You've been part of our William Hill Racing Radio team today. The Johns, Bab and Gibby. Have you been on good form?
I think so far. We've one or two winners here, then everywhere. The naps has gone in.
The naps gone in. We delayed recording this so that we could get the nap in. So we're feeling good, Andy.
We are. We're a little bit more, got a bit more pep in our step.
That's just how we like it. Any new listeners listening in, the Monday podcast for a Tuesday morning is a fairly self-explanatory one. We unashamedly steal the Monday jury out of the Racing Post and we pose those same six questions to our pundit here in the studio before looking ahead to a couple of races tomorrow. So we'll just crack on with the Monday jury then, I think. And if I'm allowed to peel back the curtain somewhat, I'm reliably informed you haven't done your homework and prepped some of these. So some of these are going to be off-the-cuff responses, which actually we kind of like here. And we'll start with the top one. Can any horse stop Paisley Park in the Stayers Hurdle?
The answer to that is pretty plain and simple, yes.
Oh!
But if she runs... Benny de Dieu is the only horse standing in the way of Paisley Park completing a double in the Stayers Hurdle. He's just by far and away the best UK horse we've seen in this division for quite some while. I said it last year, he was my banker at the festival this year. And up until Benny de Dieu winning the other day in Gower in the Galmore Hurdle, he would have been my unequivocal banker again this year. I wouldn't make him banker material just yet, because if Benny de Dieu does line up, I think she's going to give him one hell of a race. And I actually would say that would be one of the most eagerly anticipated races of the festival. It'd be a mouthwatering clash between them. But it just depends on how sporting Willie Mullins and Rich Ritchie are. Are they going to go down the easy route, the mare's route, which has been a tried and trusted route for so many years now in those colours, in those mare's races? Or are they going to do what we would call an Annie Power and throw a hand grenade into the Stayers Hurdle sort of landscape? I mean, she was brilliant the other day. Yes, Apples Jade didn't fire, but I'm a time figure man, and I can only go on the numbers that a certain race delivered, depending on how a horse is running the race, or casting aside how a horse is running the race. They were in a really good gallop, and the time figure was exceptional, whereas Paisley Park's win the other day in the Cleve Hurdle was absolutely the opposite. They've got no gallop whatsoever. Some of our boys crawled along. He's made it tactical. He's kicked from two out. He's tried to get the favourite beat. He's still proved too good. So therefore, all those horses in that race, other than Paisley Parker, who didn't really run to suit, have absolutely zero chance of ever turning it around in a more stronger run, more exceptional stamina test.
Yeah.
And Paisley Park is just phenomenal when it's all about an into and gallop. You can forget the cap fits now. He's not good enough. We know Penn Hill's not good enough. So it's really only about Benny de Dieu. Obviously, if William Hill, when they do start going maybe non-runner, no bet close to the day, that could be a possibility. But yeah, 6-1 would be a hell of a price if she was to run.
Benny de Dieu is 6-1. Paisley Park currently 4-5 for the Stayers Hurdle. Somerville Boy is the only other single-figured runner at 8. Everything else 14-1 and bigger. Just as a slightly wider question, how would you feel about backing a 4-5 shot in January for March? Is that sort of a no-go area regardless?
Yeah, it is. I think what you have to weigh up is what price would that horse be on the day? Would it be grossly bigger? And I think it probably would be around about the same, even if Benny de Dieu doesn't line up. You very rarely get something crazily, stupidly odds on. And on the day, bookmakers always want to take a view, don't they? Don't forget, this is an anti-post book. All the on-course layers haven't laid it. They want to try and get Paisley Park in a satchel. At the end of the day, it's still a short price favourite at Cheltenham, and bookmakers habitually are sort of greedy souls, and they'll want to take everything on that is short. That's their mentality, isn't it? Whether they look at the form book or not, they'll just say, this is a 4-6 favourite, we want to lay it.
Yeah.
They won't look at its previous history, its trap form, the opposition. They'll just say, right, this is my chance to lay a thin one. So yeah, I think it'll be at least 4-5 on the day. So It makes no appeal at this stage.
From Paisley Park, we go on to Santini. How would you assess Santini's Cotswold Chase win?
Certainly better than his comeback win when he struggled to beat Nair McGuinty, when it looked as though we wouldn't get to the stage where we're talking about Santini as a live Gold Cup contender. I actually backed this horse 2 weeks after he finished second in last year's RSA. I actually backed the first three home, the column I do for Odds Checker. I've got an anti-post at column which I do, and I put up the odd bet every now and again, and this is the furthest in advance I've ever put a horse up. I was that convinced that the RSA would throw up next year's or this year's Gold Cup winner. I put three horses up and then they were the first three home. I can remember the prices. Top of the game was 14, Santini was 20s, and Delta Work was 33s. I just put point win all three because I thought, well, I'm just going to cover the lot. I'm not going to go each way. One of them will win. The time figure was brilliant. The form looked great. It was much better compared to the Champion Chase furlong per furlong. I thought these three are exceptional. Top of the game's out for the season. Got beaten at Aintree. I was thinking, great. Santini struggles to beat Nair McGuinty, and Delta Work got lapped in the grade one on his first run back. So I was thinking, Clever Clogs here has got it completely wrong. But come 2 months later, Delta Work's resurrected his season, and Santini's now back on track. He wouldn't have been 100% fit. He got a little bit tired later on, but he still had enough quality to beat Bristol DeMay. He was a very solid yardstick, fourth in last year's Gold Cup. In small fields on soft ground, he's very good. And other than a mistake, three out, he had every chance. Don't forget Santini made his errors as well. One at the top of the hill and one at the second last, so it's kind of six of one, half a dozen of the other. But ultimately, he stowed him very strongly. Went over the line, he was pricked. His time was all right, wasn't off the scale, but it was good. It was workmanlike rather than spectacular. I think that's Santini. Yep. I think he's always going to be like that. He's never going to give you a wow moment like a Mike Bite or an Album Photo or, you know, some of the top class horses we can mention. So I'm happy with the bets I've had. I still think 13-2 is not a bad price because he's almost certain to run his race, and he reminds me of Long Run.
Okay.
It was not flash, but always just was kept
solid, dependable.
Was solid, dependable, jumps well. That's another thing with Santini. He never looks like falling. Yeah, yes. He might rub the up too, but tell me a three-miler doesn't hit one on the way around in over 3 miles. So I'm happy with him and Delta Work, and Delta Work runs this weekend, hopefully at Leopardstown.
So having a look at the Gold Cup, Album Photo, 9-2. Kenboy is 13-2, as is Santini. Lost in Translation, 7-1. Clander's Oboe, 8-1. And Delta Work, the other one we've mentioned there, is 9-1. Presenting Percy and everything else, double-figure prices. Right then, which other winner impressed you at Cheltenham?
Toss of the coin, really. Okay. I thought Harry Senior was good.
Yep.
He was the best furlong per furlong time on the hurdles track. Okay. But probably the best one was Simply the Bets.
Okay.
The handicap winner. I was really impressed with him. He picked up the running a long way out, but he stayed him very well. But Imperial Aura, who was well backed, well fancied. It was a competitive field. That race always works out well. What race he'll end up running, I don't know. There's obviously talk about maybe going up in class to the Marsh or the old JLT. The conditions race, the 2.5 mile race for the novices. Yeah, a lot depends on what the handicapper does tomorrow.
Right. Yes.
Obviously, we're talking in the day before he gets reassessed. I think he was 1-4-1 on Saturday before he ran.
Okay.
The ceiling is 1-4-5. So if he goes over 1-4-5, then he's actually out of the Close Brothers. He won't be able to run in the Close Brothers. So if he does end up running in the Marsh, we know he's got course and distance form. We know he can run a fast time around Cheltenham, because that time was much quicker than the other two races, much quicker than Sepage, furlong per furlong. The last circuit was very good as well, about 20 lengths quicker than Sepage if you were doing split screens. And he was faster than Santini as well by about 25 lengths. So he's really turned it on, particularly from three out, when they've quickened up really well from three out. Their back end sectionals were good. So I think Simply the Bets is a player, whatever race he ends up running in at the Cheltenham Festival. I think you might have just dragged up some race there. But yeah, that's a good shout.
A smooth link as ever to win any race at the 2020 Cheltenham Festival. Simply the Bets 12-1. So we don't know which way Simply the Bets may end up going, but you can cover hedge your bets somewhat by saying any race winner, Simply the Bets 12-1.
Well, that covers the proviso for this
exactly,
topic
yes.
On the Monday. This suits this podcast, as it were, because if you're betting on or listening to this now, going into Tuesday, you could still back him at 12-1. That means you get 12-1 if he runs in the Marsh, or 12-1 if he runs in the handicap. And if he does get in off top weight in the handicap, he'd be a player. I don't think he'd be 12-1 either.
Well, there we go. Maybe 12 to 1 to win any race at the Cheltenham Festival is a little bit of value. Of the beaten horses, who ran a good trial for the festival?
That links me in beautifully to the horse at Chasing
Another
Him
smooth
Home.
Link.
Yeah, amazing,
another
isn't it? It's as if we've scripted it before, but I trust we haven't. The horse that chased him home, Ben. Imperial Aura.
Okay.
Kim Bailey's. He finished second. He made one or two little novice errors. They weren't significant errors, not massive blunders, but he just got tight into a couple. But I think his mark will be not affected enough for him to be now a non-participant in the Close Brothers
okay.
handicap.
Yep.
I think one of the reasons he ran Saturday was to get him acclimatised to the track again. He'd finished second to Pym the time before over the course, but that's 3 mile 1.
Yep.
So they dropped him back to 2.5, ran him over the course and distance of the Close Brothers. They'll run on the old course, don't they, for the first 2 days. Of course, the Clash Brothers is on day one. But what I'm saying is he's run around Cheltenham twice now.
Yeah.
I think he was rated 1.39 going into Saturday. The handicap was bound to bump him up. The pair were clear. So he might get an extra few pounds. But that's probably not a bad thing, because if you're 1.39 and you're 1.45 top, it's a very condensed handicap, the Clash Brothers. You often find that there's about, only about 4 or 5 pounds from top to bottom. So you need to have done enough to get in, but not do enough that you go over.
Get too far.
It's almost like the old pray your cards right with Bruce, isn't it?
Imperial Aura, if you want to again cover the any race market that we've mentioned already for a couple, 10 to 1.
But I would say that the Close Brothers will let be his race. I don't think he's good enough to win the Marsh, but if we can find what price he is with it.
No, 12 to 1 Imperial Aura.
There you go.
For
12
the
to
Close
1, yeah.
Brothers novices handicap, Jason.
I would say, yeah, that's a decent bet.
I will just bring up, as we're talking about a handicap chase, from now until 48 hours before the race, we're paying 5 places on all 10 of the handicap races. So you can take advantage of a little bit of extra each way value if you are going to bet on something like Imperial Aura a little bit further out. And that's from now until 48 hours until the race runs. Okay, good. What performance stood out to you away from Cheltenham? There was decent racing all weekend elsewhere.
Yeah, the two novice chasers, really. Mr. Fisher at Doncaster winning that 4-runner race. I thought he jumped well, he travelled well. He beat Al Dancer, who's got good solid form in Grade 1 races. Mm-hmm. Just think he was too good for him. I think he showed enough speed that day to be a contender for the Arkell.
Okay.
He'd be about a 10-12 to 1 shot.
Should we find that out as well?
Roughly that would probably be his price, which seems more than fair. I think he's going to be better on better ground. Actually, he's 20 to 1.
20 to 1 for the Arkell Chase.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, that raised the eyebrows.
It did a bit. I'll tell you what, the Arkell Chase is brewing up into a really good rate. I mean, Notebook, Fakadudaris, Cashback, Melon, Brewing Up a Storm, Bapome, maybe Sankra, maybe not. Global Citizen, of course, won at Kempton. Mari Banya goes there. I mean, normally the Arkells in recent years ended up being a pretty uncompetitive affair. But I think this year's not only got lots of horses that are in contention, but they're also very good.
Yeah.
I think this year's Arkell is potentially a stellar heat. And Mr. Fisher's definitely put himself in there. And the other one to mention is Alaho.
Oh, yes. That came up in the podcast yesterday. Yeah, actually, Luke Elder was very impressed.
Very impressed with him. He jumped slickly all the way through. I would say the Marsh chases his race because they tried him over 3 miles the first day, and even though he might need the run, he looked as though he didn't get home, and he shows that much exuberance and his jumping's that good, they might as well keep him to 2.5. It was 2 mile 5.5 at Ferry House on Saturday. He clocked a very good time, much better than the 2 mile handicap the race after, which is always a good guide. And William Mullins has won that race quite a few times over, hasn't he? Marsh chase, or JLT as it used to be, York Hill won it for him.
Yep.
He has won it with another one, just escaped from memory, but he's the kind of horse that fits into that slot.
A lot of looking forward a couple of months. We're only asking you to look forward a few days for the last question from the Monday jury. Give us a winner at next weekend's Dublin Racing Festival.
I'll give you two. I'll give you a winner and an each way horse.
Please do.
The winner, Aspire Tower.
Nice.
Will win the spring juvenile hurdle, the best juvenile hurdler in Ireland so far. Henry de Bromhead trains, unbeaten over hurdles in 2 starts. And the each way horse would be in the at 2 mile 6 race on the Saturday at Grade 1. Horse called DL Care, trained by Noel Mead. 16 to 1 currently with William Hill for the Albert Bartlett. And the Albert Bartlett, I think, is this horse's long term plan. It's in the first race on the card. There's 37 declared at the moment, but obviously Giggingstown will thin that field out quite abruptly because I think they've probably got virtually half the field entered, the likes of Fury Road. But you name it, basically, they've got a horse in it. Easy Work, thing. That's another one. But DL Care, if we can bring it up,
There we go.
He's had one run this season. He won at Fairy House. But if you click on his form, you'll see that all the horses he beat have won. Monkfish has won twice since. Ascaria 10 won twice since. That won at Downraw next time out. That won a handicap. That's won since. All the completed horses have won, and he won very easily in fast time. One of my fastest 2.5 mile hurdle winners. He reminds me of a horse called Very Wood, who won the Albert Bartlett about 2 or 3 years ago. For the same connections, big strapping, chasing type that will be well suited to the rigours of a 3 mile race around Cheltenham. DL Care, I think he's going to be the next kid on the block coming through in the staying hurdle division in Ireland.
Want to keep an eye on at Leopardstown over the weekend. Then that's the Monday jury completed. Excellent work. As always, we still ask you to preview a couple of races tomorrow. And first thing to note is at time of recording, we are expecting there to be inspections, both possibly at Newcastle and Lingfield. Lingfield have declared an 8 a.m. Tuesday inspection, but the weather isn't great up at Newcastle as well. So you've been very thoughtful here and picked a couple from Southall.
Oh yeah, exactly. I could have just thought, oh well, I don't care about the listeners and their betting strategies. I could just pick a couple of non-runners, but no, we're going to be competitive and go with a couple that are definitely going to run.
Awesome. We'll start with a 5.55 at Southall, 6 furlongs and 16 important yards. It's a handicap race, Class 2.
Unless there's rail movements.
Unless there's rail movements. Mm-hmm. I guess that's why they allow.
They'll be on the BHA
yards.
Side for those that. Looking down that route.
As it stands, we do have betting available. Wasn't expecting that. 3-1 favourite. Kathifa is 7-2, as is Zillin. Zappa Cass is 5-1. Gulliver, 13-2. Typhoon, 10, is 15-2. Samovar, 9-1. Just the 7 to choose from as it stands,
yes.
Then, which is a shame for each way punters, but can you find us one to go with?
Yeah, hopefully, yeah. I've been impressed with Zillin's overall performance levels of late.
Okay.
He just seems to have clicked into gear. He was second 3 starts ago over the course and distance, clocking a good time in defeat. But since then, he's really turned it on. He managed to beat 300 other opponents on his next start over the same C&D, again clocking a good time. They went a good pace that day, even though there was only a small field. I think Airshow was the one responsible for that gallop. And then they dropped him back to 5 furlongs the other day, and albeit he got beat by a horse who clocked a phenomenal time called Hireen Queen, who's virtually unbeatable over the course and distance there this winter. And he almost pegged that horse back as well. He was closing. He got outpaced as a 6 furlong horse would, but right on the line he was getting ever closer. But Samovar, National Anthem, they were well fancied in behind. They couldn't go the gallop. There was big distances back to the third. So that run signifies to me that he remains in good form. He's got a good draw tomorrow. He's off the fence, off the curb, drawn in stall 4. They should go quick here. Zappacass, drawn 2, likes to go forward. Samovar, Kathifa. So there's going to be plenty of pace tonight. They're going to run a true 6 furlong pace here, and that's what Zealand wants. And the fact that, like I say, he's in such good form, you can tell when a horse is in good heart, and he is. And his course and distance 6 furlong form is unbelievable. I don't think he's ever been out of the first 2 in about 8 starts.
Really?
Over 6 furlongs.
Wow.
I should know that because when I tipped him last time over the 6 furlongs, I remember looking at the stats and it was like 2-2-2-1. It was like somebody testing the mic. So yeah, he's a big player tomorrow.
Zillin currently a 7-2 shot. If you want to make a play ever so slightly early, we're recording this at 4:15 on Monday, so of course prices are subject to change. Right, we're going to skip forward an hour and a half, a little smidge more, for the 7:25 at Solo. It's just 5 furlongs here, and it's another handicap Class 5 contest. We have 7 again to choose from. Global Melody, the favourite at this stage, 11-4. Red Stripes is 4-1. 5-1 for Tathmin. Move On Up is 11-2. Mulzim is 11-2. Warriors Valley, 6-1. Eternal Sun, a double figure price, 12-1. The Outsider, again, 7 to choose from. Which way are we going to go?
I've been paying a lot of attention, probably too much attention, to the draw at Southall over the 5 furlong track for the last 3 or 4 months while the winter series has been on. And I've made quite a few quid while back in low stall position, particularly track 1.
Okay.
I actually backed a 20-1 shot there the other week. It didn't win, but it finished second and gave me a great run. So I know that track 1 is like gold dust. And I'm going to go with Mulzim here, drawn track 1, Mike Murphy's Charge. Second on Two starts ago over the course and distance when getting badly hampered at the start.
Okay.
And then ran a phenomenal race beyond National Anthem, who's been in good form. That race is a lot better than this one. He's actually dropping down in grade here, having taken on National Anthem. But he should get a good toe into the race. Red Stripes Drawn is still two right next to him. We'll give him a lovely lead on that far side. But when they go past the cutaway, they actually end up running on the fastest strip of ground. Up the near side, the stand rail, is where the almost like the tractor doesn't go around, so it ends up being very powdery and very deep, whereas the middle of the track, where the tractor goes around, the horses run around, it tends to get a lot firmer and more compact. So from the two pole to the line, that far side, when the stagger unwinds, as I call it, that's when the low numbers really come into their own, almost when the camera pans onto them. So I'd expect Mulzan to be putting in the hard yards over on the far side late on. I think the danger's Tathmin. He could have done with a better draw. He's drawn six, but he ran an unbelievable race at Wolverhampton the other day. He went all the way around on the wing, having been stuck out in lane eight all the way through. And I'd upgrade that performance. And Global Melody, whose favourite, always hangs to the right.
Okay.
So that horse has got a bad draw for a horse who hangs to the right.
Over in four.
If that horse would have been drawn in still seven, when he got a clear run, he could run at the rail, and it'd be a different book. But he's going to have horses to his right, because he gives ground away by running to hanging to the right. So I think he's a weak favourite. Mulls Emmett currently 11-2.
11-2, yeah. So maybe not just a little heads up for this race, but for future southern races.
Inside draw, particularly the one box. But I implore you to back this horse three place. I know William Hill do the three place market, don't they?
We occasionally do, yeah.
Yeah, if there's a three place market for this, that'll be staggered, because he's drawn one and he's got really good form. If that horse is at the first three, so you could, what I'd do is I'd have, say, like a 5-point betting bank. I'd have 2-point win on the 11-2, and I'd have 3-point win, let's say, even money a place, or just slightly odds on, 4-5. So it covers my win stake.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure, knowing what I've seen at Southall, he'd be in the first three.
There we go. Mulzim, a tempting price to finish off the podcast at 11-2. Well, that all went very well, Andy. Thank you so much for joining us.
No problem at all.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.